Morning Show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Rainy Tuesday, storms blowing in and around Atlanta, so do take care if you're out in the roads, if you're headed into work or headed about town, or if you're going to go vote or what you do on Election Day. Do be safe on the roads. We love our audience. We want you to be safe. No smacky smacks today, okay? Let's keep it nice and safe inside the car on those slick roads around Atlanta. So do that as a favor to me, if you would, because I have been there and done that on the roads of Atlanta before, unfortunately for me.
You've had a couple fender benders?
I've totaled 3 cars.
Damn, huh?
Yeah, I know. Yep, yeah, it happens.
You know, I mean, yeah.
I mean, luckily nobody got seriously hurt, so that's all.
That's
I can
the
say.
Most important thing.
That's all I can say. The Atlanta Falcons, though, are careening towards a win streak that could grow to 4 in a row against the Cleveland Browns on Sunday in Cleveland. We welcome into the program the WayForward.com hotline. Talk a little Falcons and about this win streak with Jason Butt of The Athletic, who covers the Falcons. He is at Jason H. Butt on Twitter, and he is with us this morning. Hey, Jason.
Jason.
Hey, how are y'all doing?
Pretty good, pretty good. Jason, me and John have been chopping this up all week, and we were just going to get your thoughts about this. Has this offense finally turned the corner and become the offense that we thought it was going to be at the beginning of the season?
Yes. It's kind of funny because when you look at the Philly game, obviously there was a whole lot of it's a whole lot of talk about how poor they were in the red zone. And since that game, the offense has gone 17 of 21 in the red zone. Matt Ryan has been on fire throwing the football and just having an MVP-type season. If they weren't 4-4, if they were 6-2, 7-1, I think he'd be in the MVP conversation. And if they make the playoffs, I think he absolutely will be. I really do think this offense is one of the best. It's one of the top three, I'll say, in the NFL right now.
Talking with Jason Butt of The Athletic about the Atlanta Falcons. Jason, I want you to vote in our Twitter poll, okay?
Okay.
I'm going to give it to you right now. We did something unusual for the show today. We actually ran 2 polls concurrently.
What?
I'm sorry?
No, I was just saying what, sarcastically.
Yeah, no, there you
it
go.
It came off poorly.
Work on that timing there.
Yeah,
work on that.
two polls at the same time concurrently and all that kind of stuff. Just on the first half of the season. So the first is just offensive and defensive. Who is your offensive, Jason Butt, your offensive MVP at the halfway point of the season? Matt Ryan, Calvin Ridley, Julio Jones, or the combo of Tevin and Ito?
Got to be Matt Ryan. I'll stick with that. Just the fact that he's kind of silenced some of his critics from last year. Obviously, last year didn't go so well for him. It was Steve Sarkisian's first year. They had a lot of growing pains. And a lot of that also, I think a lot of the criticism came because in 2016, Kyle Shanahan's offense was lights out through the roof. And so not having that same kind of production, it led everybody to kind of pile on Sarkisian, pile on Ryan. And then you look at Ryan, he's 19 touchdowns, 3 interceptions, 4th in passing yards right now. He's dialing it up to everybody. Everybody's getting involved in this offense. So I think you have to give it to Matt Ryan right now.
All right, to that point, on this list here, Julio Jones, now that he has 1 touchdown, do you expect in the second half, the floodgates to open 5, 6, 7 in the second half?
I'm not sure. The thing with Julio is once they get into the red zone, he just sees so much double coverage that it's almost like Ryan's not necessarily going to force the ball to him, not necessarily going to look toward him. Because if Calvin and Mohamed Sanu and Austin Hooper, for that matter, and then Tevin Coleman out of the backfield, if those guys are singled up or come free, he's going to be smart with the football. That's one thing Matt Ryan has been throughout his whole career. He's been very smart with the football, so he's not going to force the issue to Julio. Now, Julio's biggest advantage when it comes to touchdowns is those big plays down the field, or even plays where he's able to break through, like on that screen that he busted for the touchdown, 30 for 35 yards. That seems to be where Julio mostly gets his scores, is on those bigger plays. So, this season, the Falcons have been really good at marching down the field and getting in striking distance before scoring. And so I'm not sure he'll break open and have a large number of touchdowns when it's all said and done. I think the yards will still come. I think he's very well on the way to a 1,500, 1,600-yard season at this pace. But it'll be kind of funny if he winds up with those yards and then maybe 2 or 3 touchdowns at the end of the day. But obviously a productive player and somebody whose mere presence helps out so many of those other playmakers. And the fact that they have guys like Calvin and Muhammad to go with Julio, there's really no other NFL team that boasts that kind of talent along with three guys who have so much or are so different than one another that allows them to really take advantage of each one's skill set.
All right, we're going to talk a little bit about the defense, get your vote on the defensive MVP in a moment, but I'd like to stay, if I can, Hugh, on the offense, because one of the options is Tevin and Ito, and you had been talking about what does that mean for the future.
Yeah, we were talking about earlier in this week, what does that mean for the future, Devontae Freeman, when you have Ito Smith playing as well as he's playing, and Tevin Coleman look like he's starting to emerge as a really good back. How does Devontae Freeman fit into that equation?
Yeah, that's a tough question. The Falcons have a huge decision to make. And if they decide to part ways with Devontae Freeman and keep Tevin Coleman, that's $9 million of dead cap on the books. So do they want to do that, or is it worth the trade off of keeping somebody like Tevin Coleman, because you're not going to be able to keep both? So they have to decide whether Tevin Coleman, moving forward in this offense, is he the better fit? And he sure looked the part on Sunday. He was finally staying a little more patient than he's accustomed to in this offense, letting the block set up so he could hit the tracks and get downfield. And when Tevin Coleman does that, his speed is so tough that if he's able to find a crease and hit it, he's going to get a decent gain. He's going to go get 10, 12, 15 yards, possibly break an even bigger run. So they have that to ponder, but when Freeman, and obviously Freeman has been so injury prone throughout his career, but when Freeman is healthy, he offers you that between the tackle style, a lot more tougher, grinded out, but who can still hit the big play. He's got good vision. I think one thing you did see or have seen the last couple of weeks is Tevin Coleman's ability in pass protection, and I think that's something that a lot of people might overlook. But you compare that with Devontae Freeman, and Devontae Freeman has had issues when it comes to picking up blitzes, whereas Tevin Coleman's done a pretty good job of that, especially against Washington. There was one play in particular where he was able to pick up a blitz and allow Matt Ryan a few extra seconds to make a play. So that's definitely a big question. A lot of money's already been invested, so do the Falcons decide to eat that money and go with Tevin Coleman, or do they decide to let Tevin Coleman walk and let him get paid pretty well in free agency?
Like I've always said, your best ability is your availability. Your biggest asset is your availability. And right now, Devontae hasn't been available for the Atlanta Falcons. Flip the side of the ball a little bit. Now, the defense has been playing well over the last few weeks. Do you think that with the current state of the NFL, you look at all the defense of the NFL, it's not like anybody's really out there lighting up, but do you think that this defense is good enough to get the Atlanta Falcons to the promised land, and that's the Super Bowl?
Not yet, but I do think that when Deion Jones shows back up, it's a whole different discussion, because Deion Jones cleans up so much in the middle, and as a run defender, as somebody who can cover, as somebody who can then, if they want to send him on a blitz, they can. His communication is so great. He's so respected among his teammates. I think with the guys they have right now, who have been able to gel and grow a little bit now that that rash of injuries has slowed down, and they've actually been able to put multiple games together alongside each other and work out those communication issues. I think if you add Deion Jones to the mix, all of a sudden it opens up so much more for this defense. But until that happens, it's still so tough. I mean, while I agree that the defense has gotten better over the last 3 weeks, two games, at the same time, you're talking about the Giants and the Redskins. The Redskins never really were going to pose a vertical threat down the field. That's something that has burned the shorthanded Falcons defense all season long. Eli Manning, granted, he didn't have he had plenty of moments against the Falcons that didn't go so well. He was still able to hit some deep bombs down the field, and I want to wait and see until Deion comes back and is able to provide that kind of presence to really uplift and improve this defense even further before making that kind of judgment on that side of the ball.
Jason Buck covers the Falcons for The Athletic. He joins us live this morning with John and Hugh. All right, so the two polls that are running at 9-9 the game, offensive and defensive MVPs. Jason's spoken to the offensive MVP poll. The defensive MVP poll halfway through. Here are your four options. Grady Jarrett, Devontae KZ, Devondre Campbell, Tack McKinley.
I'm going to go Devontae KZ. I think that the fact that they have had two guys in the back end go down, the two really important guys in the back end, and he's had to step up into that role. It was bumpy at first, but I really think his progression over these last 4 to 5 games has been has been truly remarkable, honestly. When he stepped in, he was a little shy, I guess you could say. He hadn't been in. He's only in his second year. He's playing free safety. He played corner in college. He had a great preseason, obviously, but he was just out there, you know, running around, making plays. All of a sudden, he's thrust into a role where he has to be the communicator in the back end. And I think you saw some struggles against Cincinnati where guys weren't getting on the same page in that first half, and you had guys playing different coverages out there because they didn't know what they were doing with one another. Then the second half, they had to go man just because they couldn't communicate. And then over those next few weeks, DeMonte KZ's improvement has skyrocketed. And now you're talking about a ball-hawking guy who seems to be in the right position at big times. He has four interceptions. He had another pick against Washington. And I think his growth in that back end is really, really helping this defense out. And I think when you talk about value, being the most valuable player, I think that the fact that he's had to replace really not just one safety but two safeties back there when it comes to understanding and communicating this defensive scheme, he's had that responsibility placed upon him, and he's really starting to do a great job and really improved over that first half of the season. So that's why I'd lean toward KZ with that.
Real quick, how would you assess the play of Desmond Trufant this season?
You know, I'm not as hard as Trufant on a lot of guys. Now, I think obviously dropping the number of picks he's dropped, that's going to stand out. And having the game against Cincinnati, which quite honestly, I think a lot of that had to do with the communication. Guys, you know, you talk to guys in the locker room, you talk to the coaches, they were just, nobody was on the same page. On the deep ball, I think it was Tyler Boyd, where he got behind Trufant,
mm-hmm.
that was a play. You had two guys playing on that side of the field playing different coverages. They weren't on the same page at all. Since that game, I think Trufant's played great when it comes to coverage, being in the right position, making plays on the ball. He's just not coming up with the picks. And it's the NFL. At the end of the day, it's a results-based business. So he's got to come up with the picks. But being in position, that's half the battle, not letting your guy get the catch. That's important, obviously. But the next step for him is he does have to start coming up with those interceptions. He knows it, too. He's been working on it in practice quite a bit every day. Just for whatever reason, in games, it's not materializing right now. But it's one of those things where he's had so many chances that you have to think that sooner rather than later he's going to be able to come up with one and maybe get some momentum when it comes to actually coming through with those turnovers.
All right, final question for me. You got about 90 seconds left with Jason Butt. Jason, there are three types of people that are Falcons fans. There's the negative Nancys and the Debbie Downers. We're already out of it. We can't do anything. There's the pragmatic fans and observers like you who say, hey, listen, you got to kind of show me. And then there's me, a driver of the bandwagon, keeper of the Kool-Aid, who says that this team is ready to start kicking ass and taking names.
And going to the Super Bowl.
I mean, I think they're ready to just take flight. Where do you fall in all this?
Yeah, probably in that middle category, as you said. You got to continue not to steal a cliche from every football coach ever, but you got to stack games, especially against better competition. Not to say Washington's a good team; that's a really good win. But it's hard. You know, the last two wins, obviously Tampa and the Giants, not great teams. So let's see where they can go from this Washington game. They get two more winnable opponents, obviously, and that's great for the record, and that's great for the overall season. But I think once you start getting past that Dallas game, and once you start talking about games against Green Bay, games against Baltimore, much tougher.
I'm not scared of any of these guys. Don't be scared. If you're scared by a dog, I mean, we're going to be fine. We're going to start kicking. Let's go back to what we did in 2016.
You got to beat the best if you're going to be the best.
Yeah.
It's a results-based business. You got to get the results first. You can't just assume because you got three wins in a row that it's going to continue.
Thanks, Jason. Do appreciate it. You can follow Jason at The Athletic. It's always a great read. Jason Butt at Jason H. Butt on Twitter.
Have a good one.
Yeah, you too. Thanks for having me on.
Jason Butt joining us on Sports Radio 910. Yeah, don't be scared. At Baltimore, so what? Green Bay, so what? Go up there, kick their, you know what?
I don't even know what to say, John. Look at you. You're all hype. I ain't afraid of nobody. You're afraid of Elsie and Archie.
I'm not afraid of my cats.
You're afraid of your wife. Say you ain't. Say you ain't afraid of your wife. Say it.
No, I love my wife.
I ain't what I said.
Crickets. I'm not afraid of my wife. She's one of the most sweetest,
I bet you won't go home and turn the TV when you want
to. Real estate maybe is probably one of the softest.
She probably is. But I bet you won't turn the TV if she watching Downington Abbey or whatever they call it, Abington Downey.
Dancing with the Stars. She said to me, I said, hey, we watched Dancing. I went, all right. When we get back, your chance to weigh in at 404-741-0929. Who are your MVPs of the first half of the Falcons season? Light us up. Let us know. As we continue with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, I should give you one little heads up. Falcons and Browns coming up Sunday. Bud Light countdown to kickoff starts at 11 a.m. Bud Light, America's favorite game day lager. Your chance to weigh in on the Falcons is next.
No one else has the NFL or Super Bowl 53 coverage like us, because we're your home for the NFL in Atlanta. Super Bowl 53 plays here. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Morning show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Rainy and nasty outside, Election Day and all that kind of good stuff. Hawks tonight, 6:30 pregame with Andy Bunker. 7 o'clock tip.
It's a great, this is great, like Netflix weather, cuddle weather. If you have a significant other, just go home after you vote, though.
Don't give my wife any ideas.
Oh, because you got the little kitties, and you can go cuddle with Archie and Elsie.
Tonight, I've got the Hawks at 7. Then I've got the basketball doubleheader to switch over to.
No, you ain't going to watch too much TV tonight. You about to sit up, and you're going to have the cats, and y'all going to watch Downington Abbey.
And by the way, you mentioned early in the show that something happened with you and the cats that we haven't gotten back to.
Yeah, you didn't get back to that. We got time.
Before we get to the phones, talk about Falcons.
Yeah, go for it, John.
Falcons, 404-741-0929. You want to talk about your offensive and defensive MVPs for the Atlanta Falcons this year? We'll take your calls.
What happened to the cats, man?
Nothing. It's just when I was leaving this morning at dark, Archie, the boy, scoots out from underneath me and gets into the garage, and I had already opened the garage door, and all I could see was the little kitty outside at 4 in the morning.
You mean outside the house?
Yeah, he was headed that way. And so I'm diving for him like I'm pouncing on a loose football, you know?
Uh-huh.
And I grabbed him, and then I couldn't see it. I couldn't see where he went because he just shot off. And so I'm trying to find him. And so now I got to go upstairs and wake up my wife and say, I don't know where Archie is.
Hold up. Is Archie outside?
I had to go look. He wasn't.
You lost the cat?
John.
John, you haven't had the cat
tripping.
Since.
Oh, you tripping.
It's only been 2 days.
John, if you lost that cat, I wouldn't go home.
When was this? Today, John?
Hey, John. Mm. Hey, John. I don't know if we should have told this story on the air.
He was trying not to.
Hugh, what'd you do?
Hey, it ain't the first time we felt pressure to put stuff on the air that we weren't supposed to. Hey, John, my bad, dog. This might be John's last day.
John, you can
stay over my house in Gloria's room if you have
this
to.
This might be John's last day.
I normally would put you on the couch.
The good news is we found him.
Oh, okay. Oh, so she texted you and told you?
Yeah, no, we found him, but I had to wake her up to help me find him.
Oh, okay. I was about to say.
Wake her up.
Okay, now leave it to John Fricky to tell half the story.
He turned into Venom right then, though. You heard him. Wee.
No, but the thing is, I had to wake her up, and she's shooting out of bed. I go, I can't find Archie. Oh, my God. She's like, in panic, and she's
where'd you find him?
He was hiding. He had managed to scoot by me twice because I missed him. Like I was trying to pounce on the fumble. I got my hand on him, and he shot around because he's so fast that he just disappeared.
He ain't scratchy.
No, he didn't. And he went back in the house, and he was hiding him.
He was hiding. Okay. Yeah, because God. If you lost that cat, I feel for you. I would feel for you, brother.
Yeah, no kidding.
That's not the move that you want to make.
No, I would have been. I would not have been the MVP in the house.
Oh, no, you'd have had issues.
Yeah.
Because you live out there in the boondocks, too.
We're going to go to a call here.
Yeah, alligators and stuff. Huh?
Alligators? This is George.
What type of?
North Georgia. Come on.
No, you got
no,
like,
we don't.
You guys live in a bayou. What do you
got? Coyotes.
Coyotes.
You got coyotes.
I do have coyotes.
You got coyotes.
They run through my yard.
Eat the cat.
Oh, that's right, because you were telling him what to get to keep them away.
The coyote. The coyote, you got to get coyote. No,
right,
that's the
deer. Right.
Yeah, those coyotes.
No, not the kid. Yeah, Jack, what was it? Mountain lion pee? It was something I told you to get. It was mountain lion pee or something like that. Yeah. Keep the coyotes away.
Keep those coyotes away.
How do you
away.
Know about this?
I'm a plethora of useless information. You didn't know this?
I'm so glad I asked.
Yeah, plethora.
Hey, Wendy, bring up the polls to see what the votes are, and we'll get those updates in a moment. Derek's in Atlanta. He's on with John and Hugh. Hey, Derek, how you doing?
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
Hey, who is your offensive and defensive MVPs from the first half of the Falcons?
It's Matt Ryan, man. He's the anchor of this team. You keep him grounded. We got to recognize his leadership that he's imposing every week. I mean, you got to see it. he's doing. If it wasn't for him, we wouldn't be right back where we need to be at.
You have a defensive MVP?
A defensive end?
No, a defensive MVP.
Oh, a defense. I guess it got to be Kate. Well, no, nah, man. I'm going to say it's Pat McKinley, man. You know, it started up front, man. So I got to go with Pat.
Yeah, he's got 5.5 sacks, leads of the team. How do we stand in the Twitter poll, Wendy?
So as far as defensive MVP right now, 49% of people are saying it's DeMonte Casey, 36% Grady Jarrett, 12% Tack McKinley, and then 3% Devondre Campbell. Now if we scroll down to offensive MVP, it's a runaway. Matt Ryan, 81% of the votes. The next second closest is Calvin Ridley, 13%, and then it's split between Julio Jones, Tevin Coleman, Ito Smith, 3%.
I voted for Calvin Ridley. I wanted to think outside the box a little bit. Mm-hmm. But Matt Ryan's a good pick.
Yeah, like, Matt Ryan's a really good pick. As Jason Butt said, and we've said too, I mean, we're the Falcons 6-2. We'd be talking about Matt Ryan and MVP right now for the league. Forget about for the first half of the Falcons. Tyler's in Atlanta. He's on with John and Hugh. Hey, Tyler.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Hey, good. Well, who is your offensive MVP of the first half? Is it anybody but Ryan?
So I think it's the easy call is Matty Ice for sure, but I think who we always kind of overlook is that big center, man. I think Alex Mack kind of stabilizes that line for us with all the changes we've had. I think it's just great to have his leadership in there.
All right, how about defensive MVP? Who do you like?
You got to go with Casey, man. The guy flies around the ball, and he's just like a ball hawk out there.
Yeah, he is, and I appreciate that, Tyler. 4 interceptions this year for DeMonte Casey. He was the he led 2-time Mountain West Conference Defensive Player of the Year at San Diego State, led the nation in interceptions. So when he came in, he had the rep for being a ball hawk. We didn't see that so much in his rookie year, but boy, are we seeing it now, Hugh. And this is the best ball hawker we've seen in quite some time.
Yeah.
With the Atlanta Falcons.
And, you know, it's funny, oddly, that you say that best ball hawker. Trufant would probably be in that conversation if he actually caught.
If he could hold on.
Yeah,
but he probably dropped 5 interceptions this
year.
Yeah,
but for me, John, it always starts up front. And I would probably say for me, the defensive MVP would probably be Grady Jarrett and what he's able to provide, that stability up front. Because when he came back, that's when it seemed like the defense started to really stabilize. So I like Grady Jarrett at that spot because you saw how much he meant to that defense when he was not on the field for those few games that he wasn't on the field.
You know, one of the things, and you could speak to this a little bit, that I've been really impressed with Grady Jarrett in his years with the Falcons, watching him kind of grow from that pick at Clemson to now, is how much more
mature
and vocal he is. He's become not just the
he's
anchor,
the OG.
He's become the leader too.
Wes Durham pointed that out. Like, dude, you're too young to be the OG of the offense or the defensive line, but he is. He is the OG. I think that comes a lot from just the way his work ethic, some of the people that he's grown up around. You know, he's real tight with Ray Lewis. And, you know, I think that kind of rubs off on him. You know, it comes from a good, from what I can tell, a good family background. So that rubs off on him. And, you know, you look at this team, and he is a guy that I guess he kind of stepped up and said, this team needs a leader, and why not me?
Let's take Ray and Carrollton. He's on with John and Hugh. Hey, Ray, good morning to you.
Yeah, good morning, guys. Yeah, is it me?
Yeah, it is.
Sorry, it's Roy. But anyway, yeah, man. I've got somebody besides Ryan, Julio Jones, I think, for the offensive. Man, he's so clutch, right, for those third down catches, getting the chains moved. And then for defense, I had to say Tack, pretty consistent, except for that little injury time he had. But that's who I think might be the MVP so far.
Yeah, I appreciate that, Ray, voting in. And you could vote, too, at 9-9 The Game on our Twitter polls. We have 2 votes going on, offensive and defensive MVPs. You can vote in both and weigh in on both. To Tack McKinley, because, you know, he is going to finish, I think, probably 3rd in the defensive voting for our little poll and what Ray just said in Carrollton here. Voted for Tack. 5.5 sacks so far this year. Do you get a sense with at least I do, Hugh, that when we start to look at the second half and kind of project out as to what some of the individual performances may be, with the defensive line now healthy and looking at some of the players that you're going to face here in the second half, I could see Tack getting, you know, 7 or 8 sacks in the second half of the season. I could see him ending up not with 5.5, but in the 12.5 to even 14 range if he continues to, because I think he's been really close. He was really close a couple of times last week.
I see 10. I see 10 in his future, in his immediate future. I think he's one of the guys that when you look at it now, offensively, offensive look at him is like he's the tip of the spear as far as the pass rush is concerned. So they're not going to let him tee off on your quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to try to contain him. So I give him 10.
It is a rainy kind of Tuesday, Hawks night tonight, and college basketball opening up, all of that on an election day. But what did we miss? That's the Wendy Zone next with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 99 The Game.
This Sunday is Big Sunday.
Touchdown, Atlanta!
It's our Falcons.
Followed by Atlanta United playoff game number two.
Our Falcons play here, and our Atlanta United play here. Big Sunday on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
All right, everybody stand up!
It's time for a look at the world of sports, celebrities, and more. This is the Wendy Zone on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
I was going to start the segment in a little bit of a different direction, but just before we came on the air, John just looked up with the biggest grin on his face in glee, and he was like, "We've got the first firing! We've got the first firing of the day!" In all seriousness and happiness, John, do you want to explain?
Well, no,
who is
I was
out
just
today and your happiness right now.
Well, the Blackhawks fired Joel Quenneville. I mean, so
just the amount of giddy is like a kid on Christmas morning.
I mean, I think there's going to be an NFL firing today. I just have a sense there is.
Who's going to be fired today, John, in the NFL?
I think
because this is your thing.
No, let's say who you want to be fired
yeah,
today,
John.
Who do you feel deserves to be fired?
He's got a smile on his face. He knows.
Because I don't want it to sound like you're being mean and want people fired, but
yeah,
you kind of do.
Kinda do. No, I'm
you
not
kinda do.
Want
you,
people to be
John,
fired.
Your face was all lit up.
You want Urban Meyer fired.
Well, that I do.
See, you want Urban Meyer fired.
Uh-huh.
So who
be,
you want fired in the NFL?
Urban Meyer's either going to be the next head coach of the Browns or the Jaguars.
And you're equal opportunity fire. You know what I mean? I don't want anybody to think you're like lopsided with your fire. You fire men, women,
yeah.
children.
You fire everybody.
You fire everybody. You want to fire everybody.
I think
yeah. You kicking cats out the house. You
I
doing
know,
all
you
that.
You abandonment.
Yeah, you don't care. You don't discriminate. Like, you fired everybody. Putting people out, whatever. Who you want,
who you want
fired
today? Yeah, who do you want fired today before we?
Jason Garrett.
He said, the funny part about it, he said it was straight face.
He was so happy. He still has a smile on his face.
See, this stems from the Urban Meyer case. If they had gotten rid of him, he would be all right. But
yeah.
ever since Urban Meyer, no, he's been on a roll.
No, he's been like, he don't even, what do you call it, Urban Liar. And
yeah,
he
Urban
can't
Liar.
Wait. He's looking for it.
Well, remember, they put Ryan Day, they played better. Ohio State played better. And Ohio State fans will admit, under Ryan Day, they gave Ryan Day the title of head coach in waiting.
Yes, they did. And Urban Meyer, to your credit, John, looked this weekend like he was having a little bit of an ulcer.
Yes.
Like he was having a little bit of a mental breakdown on the sideline
well,
this weekend.
Hugh, you know John already has his flight on standby to Ohio when that happens to
For
help
real.
Urban unpack
and move into Cleveland.
Yeah.
Yeah, they do have a house on the lake up there somewhere, don't you? Michigan somewhere that's not that far from Cleveland.
Yeah, probably. I don't know.
The Five Great Lakes.
If he says he does, I don't believe him, but okay.
No, I'm talking about you and like going to
oh,
your,
yeah,
going
no,
up to
I'm
the,
not
to the lake house.
I'm not going anywhere near
Is there
near
a Dallas
Columbus.
Flight you can help Jason
yeah.
to later on today?
Yeah.
Mr. Garrett?
Yeah, not going anywhere near Columbus.
Move his stuff. Well, speaking of the NFL and firings, this is not a firing, but it has to do with the NFL. Fans of the NFL who also play Fortnite, which is everywhere. It was all around Halloween. It was all in the Halloween stores. People dressed up as their favorite Fortnite characters are soon going to be able to outfit their characters in NFL jerseys. So the league announced on Monday that it struck a deal with Epic Games, the maker of the popular video game Fortnite. Fans can purchase a jersey of any of the 32 NFL teams. They can add a number from 1 to 99 onto that jersey. The jersey can be purchased in the Battle Royale store inside the game using virtual bucks. This is a real story. And the cost of each jersey in the game is equivalent to $15 in real money.
Wow.
So yeah, each Fortnite. Gamer can have up to 8 NFL jerseys in his or her locker on the
$120
game.
$120 worth of NFL
yes.
jerseys?
Let me tell you, John.
And it's not
the
real.
They call it skins.
Yes.
I had a friend of mine was telling me yesterday about her son was like, whenever he does something good, can I get a skin? Did I do something like to get a skin for Fortnite? Fortnite has made billions of dollars. That's why the NFL partnered with them.
Well, they just fundraised.
Yeah, what you talking about, the NFL?
No, Fortnite just fundraised, and there's some superstars attached to that. They just raised $1.25 billion from investors.
Wait, they get, let's say the NFL gets it's a 50-50 deal. Let's say the NFL is getting $7.
Probably not 50-50, but still.
Well, but I mean, even if it is. $7.50 for every uniform that they sell in cyberspace on one game.
Yes,
well, John, they're going to make a
Fortnite.
Fortune.
For $15.
But before that, before this partnership, and before this fundraiser, Fortnite was making billions. They made billions of dollars. Like, and the funny thing about it, John, is that PUBG, Fortnite, they all came out around the same time, but Fortnite was the one that caught on and caught fire.
Mm.
Because PUBG basically is the same thing.
Mm.
But PUBG is more like you get dropped into the same concept, but it's more of a realistic kind of battle royale thing. Fortnite's, they got a lock on it because you get to build different forts and whatnot. You get to do all kind of crazy stuff in Fortnite.
And really cool costumes, and now you can do it in an NFL jersey. That's and you can play you Fortnite. $15.
And I think Daryl at one point was playing Fortnite. You could play Fortnite on your phone.
On your phone.
On your phone.
That's Man. Big. Like that, making tons of money.
Wow,
Fortnite.
So I mentioned that the Fortnite raised the $1.25 billion. It gave the game's producer a value of nearly $15 billion. And these were the sports figures who were part of that raise. They included Washington Capitals and Wizards owner Ted Leonis, Golden State Warriors co-owner Peter Guber, and Charlotte Hornets owner Michael Jordan.
Now here's the thing. I'd be interested to know how the Players Association is going to deal with this, because in the next CBA, if I'm a player and you buy a uniform, and if you buy the 11 Falcons, if I'm Julio, I get some of that cash.
Well, it doesn't have the names on them.
Yeah, it's
pick
like
whatever
you can pick
number
the
you
number
want. That's gonna be
and
the
color,
issue.
But yeah. you could pick, say, like you pick Falcons jersey. Mm-hmm. But you know how people buy the jersey and put their name on the back of it?
Yeah, still.
So there's no names on the back of it.
Just picking
the number.
I know,
and
but
the
if
team.
I'm the NFL Players Association,
now if,
I'm wanting a piece of that.
I hear what you're saying, John, but if it's like a likeness of Julio, then maybe. But I don't know. This is where you need a lawyer. You need a lawyer to figure all of this out.
Mm-hmm.
Because Fortnite is, for all the successes they've had, there have been some people that are trying to sue them right now. They're trying to sue them for some of the signature dances.
For the dance moves, yeah. Because some of the dance moves have been created from hip-hop music and rap music in their music videos. So they haven't been given credit either. So there's a bunch going on
with
Fortnite.
But before that happens, Fortnite's got making a ton of money.
A ton of money. And people are playing for like hours a day and just not going outside or, you know, neglecting their girlfriends and all that kind of stuff if they had one.
If you had a good girlfriend,
wow,
she would
understand. Wow, that sounds a little personal, but
no.
Okay.
I don't have a boyfriend. Well, it's been 15 years since Bad Boy 2 hit theaters. That was just from Friends, John. It's been 15 years since Bad Boy 2 has hit theaters. In that decade and a half, there's been, you know, rumors that have come out that saying that there's going to be a Bad Boys 3. Well, according to social media posts from both Will Smith and Martin Lawrence, Bad Boys 3 is officially happening, saying, quote, on their Instagram accounts, "It's been a long time coming, but now it's here. Bad Boys for Life, we're back." And accompanying the caption was this video of the two actors celebrating the big news. Bad Boys 3 is officially happening. It's official, Will Smith screamed in their Instagram video. So it's a lot to look forward to. The Sony Pictures is saying that it won't be released until January of 2020.
15 but years be waiting for that though, boy.
15 years great. Later, can they get it right?
Nothing was wrong with the first two.
Correct, but it's been 15 years.
Yeah, you're right, and they've gotten a little older. So how is it going to play? Yeah. And everybody's grown now. The kids are grown. So yeah, we'll see.
Rick and John are grown, and they're going to be here top of the hour on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.